BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
If you slip on a pair of glasses, you're essentially hacking the body. For the majority of history, we've mostly rebuilt limbs after catastrophic injury or repaired something due to illness, recreating an accepted norm for bodily function with technology. But what if, through hacking your body, you could go beyond what nature intended? Would you hack your own wetware? I'm Gabriella Coleman, a professor of anthropology at Harvard. And this is The Hackers, a series that delves into the hidden histories of hacking and uncovers how it shaped the world as we know it. In this episode, we're exploring body hacking and how it can improve everyday life or open up completely new channels of reality.
Bear with me one second, because now she's got the zoomies, so I'm just going to stick her in the living room real quick. Come here, Layla.
This is Winter Meraz, an engineer who was drawn into the world of technological body modification after a life-changing experience.
About 13 years ago, I was in a really bad car accident that fractured my spine in three places, broke both my ankles and both my knees. I was told at the time from doctors that I'd never be able to walk again and that the entire left half of my body, including my face, would be paralyzed.
Even standard medical devices have advanced hugely thanks to modern technology like 3D printing.
My kneecap was just obliterated on my right side. They used the newer technology they have where they actually took a CT scan of my left kneecap, completely 3D modeled it, reversed it, and then put in the new parts of the 3D printed copy of my left knee, put it together like a puzzle, and I had two stitches. And then I was able to walk again a week later.
After getting the standard medical devices, she began to seek out more unusual upgrades.
I got the NFC, RFID, and magnet all at the same time.
These chips are tiny. Typically, they come in medically approved glass capsules, and the tech inside is pretty basic. You get NFCs and RFIDs in phones, key cards, and passports. Unlike standard medical tech, this makes some people uneasy.
There's a vastly different reaction, yes. Which I find that reaction so interesting because the things that went into creating this 3D printed kneecap are so much more advanced than any of the little chips I have. All those are a little pill-shaped thing that has a little bit of copper wire in it that can read radio waves. Now, the RFID that's in the webbing of my left hand is my door fob. I walk with a cane. And if you're a woman and you carry a purse and carry things, then you know your hands are always full. So that, with a cane, and especially in a rainy place like Liverpool in England where I am, things are a real slip and trip and fall hazard. It's just harder to have to try to struggle while holding my cane to find some keys. Now that it's in my hand, I can very quickly lift and barely tap my hand to the door and the door just opens. It works for the office at my work. It works for my main door to my building for downtown, and I can register it at any hotel I go to, which is always a good little light show for the people at the front desk there.
Body enhancements go beyond the physical. For Winter, they bring her peace of mind and mental well-being.
I do have PTSD from the accident, so I do get anxiety quite a lot. Knowing that I can never forget my keys, so I can never be locked out, is really helpful just to relax anxiety versus checking my keys seven times every time I'm outside the building. I can always get in. I can always be safe. I don't have to worry about anything else.
Biohacking can be used to overcome limitations, but there's another philosophical approach, using tech to create new senses or allow humans to access other realities.
Sometimes it feels like a meditation. I have this piece that it's called Waiting for Earthquakes. It can last 10 minutes or it can last hours. I stand still and then I imagine that I go deeper inside the earth. Also, I imagine that I have roots and branches under my feet. And then through these roots, I can feel the earthquakes. Earth is the choreographer of the piece and I'm just the interpreter. So it's treating the earth as the artist.
Moon Ribas is a co-founder of the Cyborg Foundation. She's a cyborg artist best known for implanting seismic sensors in her feet that allow her to feel near real-time earthquakes as vibrations under her skin.
And whenever there was some seismic activity on the planet, I would feel a vibration inside my body. And depending on the intensity of the earthquake, the vibration I would feel would be stronger or less strong. And I called this the seismic sense. And I considered this cyborg art. First times that I had the vibration, it was actually really profound feeling. I was shocked feeling how many earthquakes the Earth is producing. We all know that the Earth moves a lot, but actually to feel that actually it really moves a lot.
Over time, she felt like she developed a whole new sense.
First, if I was talking to someone, I would get distracted in the conversation. When I went to sleep, I would wake up more often. But little by little, I got used to feeling all these vibrations constantly until it really united as a new sense. And a way that I had to describe this feeling is that it felt like I had a new beat inside my body, not only my heartbeat, but also what I call the earth beat. For me, cyborg art, it's like designing your own perception of reality.
You only have to look at the sci-fi canon to see that tinkering with human limitations has caused deep anxiety across time. The idea of transhumanism, transcending limits via technology, makes people worry about a potential social divide, those who have upgraded and those who cannot. But perhaps there's a way to bridge the gap.
Sometimes it can be very lonely to be the only one, but I don't feel like I'm very detached from others, because I create artwork. For me, is like, for example, when I do Waiting for Earthquakes, and sometimes you are just dancing and I feel like I'm a bit alone. When I finish and I see that other people are touched by it, or they got also these more profound experience, is actually really beautiful for me. And it's like, wow, they also related somehow. Art works because then you can share these experiences with other people. But maybe I feel different from humans, but maybe I can relate to other species in other way. For example, I can relate to Earth in a deeper way. Or for example, my colleagues, that they have all the senses that animals have. So maybe we create more empathy, or we can connect deeper to other species.
This is different from the Silicon Valley idea of transhumanism, the super rich seeking youthful blood or downloading brains into robots to pursue immortality. Moon is essentially teching her way back to nature, not trying to escape it, but reconnecting. But there is a universal rule of tech. It will always be upgraded. Old devices become redundant. We get bored and we want something new and shiny. What happens when you want to swap out the tech that's within your own skin?
I had the seismic sense for almost 7 years. And actually last year, I decided to take the implants out. That was a scary moment. I was more scared to take them out than to put them in, because I felt that maybe everything that I was building, it would stop. But I felt I was in a stage in my life that I needed a radical change, and the most radical thing that I thought I could do was to take the implants out. And when I did it, this strange thing happened, that I thought everything would stop, but then I took the implants out and I could still feel the vibrations for some months. But then after some months, it passed away. And now I'm thinking, now I want a new sense that it connects me to the ocean or the sea. I mean, I live by the coast, and the sea always has been a very big part of my life. So I feel it makes sense. Now I've been united to the earth for so long, that now I would like to be united to the water.
Biohackers are passionate about what they do, but there are risks, some pain. They're extreme biohackers who have tinkered so much that they have been left with lasting injuries. But the universal hacker instinct, curiosity, drives a lot of this.
Curiosity, it's a big part of it. We don't feel that we do virtual reality or augmented reality. We feel that we do revealed reality. I mean, there's many things happened around you that you don't feel because your senses and your body parts are limited. For example, if you can share the room with a bee, yourself, and your dog, and the way that you have to experience in that room would be very different because of your senses and your body parts. Maybe there's some infrared or ultraviolet or infrasound or deeper smell that you're missing, but the bee and the dog don't miss. So it's like this reality, all these things that happen around you that you are blind to see. So that's why, like, creating this new sense, we said it's like revealing these realities.
Hacking, even biohacking, isn't always about grand, world-changing tech developments. Like many genres of hacking that came before, sometimes it's all about the pure joy of being able to do it. Winter again.
Oh my goodness, the first time I could open doors, I opened and closed the door like 20 times in a row. And I had tried it for a couple days because when you first get the implant, you know, it is the soft webbing of your skin and it is a bit swollen. And because the radio waves are so short, if your skin's swollen, it's not gonna work. So for that whole week, I kept trying it and, oh, not yet, okay. And when it finally did, unlocked the door, I went, oh, and I called everybody in the office. And they're like, oh, that's so cool. And we spent like 10 minutes just opening and closing the door. And then the webbing of my right hand, I have an NFC chip. It's one where I can put a website into a box pretty much and have any website I want pop up. When I was traveling to the States, I put on all of my medical and insurance information. So should I have a medical need, I can then make it keep me safe. Or if I'm going to a party or something, I can just make it Rickroll people, which I have done so many times. The lights are there just because I like things that light up. I definitely have that magpie brain. I have on my forearm a tattoo from Harry Potter. So when they came out with LED implantable lights, I actually got the first ones in Britain. And there's a snake in this tattoo, and she placed the LED chip directly under the eye of the snake. So now if I'm at a party or a networking event or just for fun, I can hold my or somebody else's phone close to the eye of the snake and the eye of the snake glows, which is just really cool.
Biohackers, transhumanists, cyborgs, they face a few barriers. Laws restrict what can be done and who can do it, but also public sentiment can be actively hostile.
I've had people throw abuse at me that I've never met on Instagram when I showed a chip saying, oh, you're going to hell, it's the sign of the devil. It's like, would any of those people say that about somebody with an insulin pump? That is some cyborg stuff right there. Like an actual computer that is inside your body controlling how your vital organs work. But me being able to open a door without falling makes me less human? People who I think that way haven't really thought it through and I think have never dealt with actual disabilities in their life. And it's just extremely ableist. For some people, it's very theoretical about, oh, well, you're changing the body that you've got. But for people in the disabled community, no, it's not theoretical. It's our lives. It's our reality.
We have been hacking our bodies since time immemorial. We shouldn't be surprised that today people are going to continue to hack their bodies. The desire is already there. The technology is getting ever more accessible and sophisticated. We don't need to rely on factories or tech developers. We could do this stuff at home. You may think that you would never do this, but whether it's due to life circumstances, a new desire to expand your mind, or just for the lulls, you may find your inner biohacker one day come to life.
Sideways is back for another season with stories of incredible feats of endurance.
Mountain climbers, we plod onward through avalanches and snowstorms and occasional yetis.
I'm Matthew Side, and in Sideways, you'll hear stories of bold thinkers and amazing lives. Stories of seeing the world differently. Subscribe to Sideways on BBC Sounds.